So today is Wednesday, March 22nd, Kaf Tet Adar. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh. And we are going to be learning Parshat Vayikra. Let me share. And I'm really excited about this. So in my years of doing Shnai Mikra, of reading the Parsha every week with Rashi, except for, I think I've been doing it for 13 or 14, maybe 15 years, with the exception of 2 years when I did Ramban, which was really hard. So this particular Rashi has always interested in me, and I think that's kind of my theme this year, is things that have piqued my interest that I feel like researching in the Parsha. So you will see this Rashi. So in order to understand the Rashi, I included more psukim than usual that we're not going to go through. And what I want you to note in these psukim is the white space. Okay, so you have white space here. I think I even did the space bar 9 times to reflect that it's 9 white spaces, the space of 9 letters. And here, and that's a samech, which stands for stuma, meaning closed off. So if you were looking in a Sefer Torah, you would not see the samech, but you would see the space of 9 letters in the middle of a line. And the next one is a pei, and pei means pitucha, open. It means it's open for the remainder of the line. And here's another samech. So if I use more psukim, you would see again that 9 space. So there is a lot of white space in the parsha, which isn't always unusual. But what bothers Rashi and the Midrash will see is that it's not necessarily reflecting new paragraphs like we usually associate white space with as a new topic. It's in fact all staying within the same topic. So the topic here at the beginning of our parsha is voluntary olot, the type of korban that is completely burnt up, and it gives all the details and the different animals, but it's all under one topic, so it shouldn't necessarily have white space. And the remainder of the parsha and all of the different korbanot that it's going to describe also include a lot of white space that doesn't necessarily make sense structurally in terms of a new topic. So that is what you're visualizing there. So the first pasuk, Vayikra al Moshe v'yedaber Hashem elav me'o hamoed lemor. I should have made this aleph little because it's little in the Sefer Torah. I think we spoke about that last year maybe. There's a lot to speak about just in that one pasuk. It's a very long first Rashi. And then pasuk yud, V'im min hatzon. So again, we're starting a paragraph with the letter vav, which is always unusual. It's not, if you have like vayomer, that starts with a vav, but that's part of the grammatical structure of the verb, so that doesn't strike anyone as usual. But this is v'im, and if, which is unusual. And it shows you even more starkly that it's a continuation, that it starts with and yet there's white space. And again, here you see v'im, and if. Okay, so that's all the background information, and here's Rashi. So he asks the question, Uma hayu hapsakot meshamshot? What purpose do the breaks serve? And the answer is, Litein revach lemoshe, lihitbonen bein parsha leparsha, ubein inyan leinyan. It was to give space to Moshe to contemplate between each parsha and each inyan. That's a direction I could have gone in, but I didn't, to explain what's the difference between a parsha and an inyan. Inyan is usually subject matter. So Moshe needed those spaces, not because it was a new topic, but to allow him time to absorb the material and contemplate it. And that's what Hashem gave him as reflected in those white spaces. Kal v'chomer lehedyot halomed min hahedyot. All the more so when a normal person who is not God doing the teaching is teaching to a normal person, they need space to absorb the material. Hi, Chaim, you're actually perfect timing because this next Rashi repeats the first Rashi that we saw. So you won't have missed anything. So this next Rashi...
Sorry, I had some trouble getting on.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry you had trouble. And hi, Linda, how are you? Okay. So this is Pasuk Yod. So if you remember, that strange vav that was following the white space, reviewing a little for Chaim, that we had white space and then we started our next Pasuk with a vav. So there's no change in topic, and yet there was white space. So Rashi first introduces it in the first pasuk, and then he repeats it in pasuk yod, because that's where we actually see it in action. So v'im min hatzon, and if from the sheep, from the flock, vav mosif al inyan rishon. The vav is a continuation of the first subject matter. V'lama hifsik, why do we have this white space, this break? L'itein ravach l'moshe l'hitbonen bin parsha l'parsha. To give Moshe the space to contemplate and to absorb the material between each parsha. So it's a little truncated from the first Rashi where he explained in the first pasuk, but it's the same message, to give space to contemplate. Now, why did Rashi repeat it in pasuk aleph, pasuk yud? Because the Midrash repeats it in pasuk aleph and pasuk yud. So here is Sifra, which is the Midrash Halacha, the halachic Midrash on Vayikra, otherwise known as Torat Kohanim, I think. V'chima hayu hafsakot mishamshot litein ravach l'moshe litbonen bin parsha parsha bin inyan l'inyan v'harei dvarim kavachomer. So it's almost exactly the same wordage as Rashi quotes it almost exactly, but not quite. These breaks, these white spaces, serve to give space to Moshe to contemplate between each parsha and between each subject matter. And behold, it's a kavachomer. It's an a fiori, meaning ma'im. So if somebody who's listening from God, who speaks with divine inspiration, if that person needs to contemplate, it's not like it's just a USB that you can insert the information into your brain. He actually needs to learn it and contemplate it. So if that person who's hearing it directly from God needs the time and space to contemplate, alachat kama v'chama hedyot min ha-hedyot. All the more so, a normal teacher to a normal person. Okay, and then these were also other directions I could have gone in this shir, but I chose not to, but I'm leaving it here for maybe the future. So there's a theory that every time Hashem called to Moshe, just like at the burning bush, at the sne, he said Moshe, Moshe, twice. So too, every calling to Moshe was preceded by Moshe, Moshe, twice. So that was interesting. But and then here's all the people that have double names, which I did speak about when we were learning Sefer Shmuel, because you see Shmuel is the last one with a double name. That's not our topic. And here in the Midrash, so you see that what we just read was Parsha Aleph, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tet, so chapter 1, the first section, the ninth one, and this, when it's repeated, is Parsha Hey, Sof Perek Vav. So it's the fifth paragraph with the sixth chapter and the first one, and it's just a repeat of the Rashi and this notion. I mean, Rashi copies this, and it's a repeat of what was said in the previous one, but I just wanted to show you how the Midrash also repeats this idea of giving Moshe space to contemplate on the actual pasuk with that Vav. That shows you that it's a continuation of the topic, even though there's white space. Okay, this is the Korban Aaron. All these new commentators that I'm discovering on my Bar Ilan USB. So this is Rabbi Aaron ben Avram Chaim, who was born in Fez, Morocco, 16th century. And this is a commentary on the Torat Kohanim, on the Midrash Halachot of Vayikra. So he takes phrases from the Midrash and explains them. So I thought that would be helpful. V'chima hayu hafsakot. So what purpose did these breaks serve? Klomar bishlema k'deman k'tekasuk adatach. So it's understandable that it would occur to you. Sheha hafsaka hayamipne hafsek t'hanivu'ah. That these breaks, these white spaces, you might have thought actually reflected an end to that prophetic session. A break in the prophecy. Hine bezel lo ikshelan ma hayu hafsakot mishamshot. So we wouldn't have even thought it was a difficulty why they have those breaks. Ki hafsakat hashefa hanivuei hu asher yichayev hafsaka. Because when the flow of prophecy stops, then that would be reflected in white space. Ele im lo hayasham hafsek hashefa. And if there had not been a stop in the flow of the prophecy, then it must serve some other purpose. So So then you have this question, why would God have stopped speaking before he was finished? Because clearly this is one topic, so it wouldn't make sense to think that way. Mishani litein ravach l'Moshe. So that's why the Midrash teaches us that it's to give space to Moshe. Latet lo zman asher bo yitbanen b'chalek adibur hane'amar lo. To give him time where he can contemplate that portion of the speech that was said to him. Kedei shelo ya'arbev hadverim. So that they don't get mixed up. La'arev means to mix, which is an interesting word. Like erev is evening and it's a mixture of day and night. It also means sweet. Ela yavin kol inyan v'inyan bifnei atzmo. Rather, he should understand each subject matter in and of itself. V'yor sham v'dato v'zichona. And it will then be inherited in his knowledge and his memory. V'achar chach yomar lo ha'inyan ha'acher. And only then, afterwards, would he give him the next one. Kal v'chomer, all the more so. Klomar mizen nilmod kal v'chomer l'lamed min ha'hedyot. From this, we learn this a fiori, from the light to the heavy. Of teaching from the normal person, imishu shomea mifia kadosh baruch hu sheyesh biyado lelamed hadavrim ba'ofen shelo yitbalbalu ha'inyanim l'shomea. So if we're talking about God, who has in his ability to teach these things in such a way that the subject matters won't be confused to the one who's listening, ve'od shekasher yirtze ledaber ma sheshama hu medaber baruch hu kodesh, and when he wants to say... and when he wants to say that which he hears, he can speak in Ruach HaKodesh, the divine inspiration, Shebezeh lo yarev ha'inyanin, and then he won't be mixed up. Ki Ruach HaKodesh shemesaderet ha'davarim bepiv. It's this divine inspiration that organizes the things in his mouth. Alechat kama v'kama hedyot shehu medaber v'sichlo ha'davek l'dimyonot. All the more so, a normal person who's speaking with his intellect that is attached to his imagination, asher hu sibat ha'irbuv v'hashkacha, and that's the reason for mixing things up and forgetting. I really like that explanation, that we're not just pure intellect, we have this imagination which causes us to get confused and to forget things, because we have too many things in our head. V'gam shu shomea mipi ha'hadyot, and when he hears things from the normal person, Hedyot, you can imagine, is related to idiot, but we're translating it as normal person. She'en yecholet biyado l'sader hadvarim v'lahashmi'an ba'ofen shelo yitbabalu. Because he doesn't have it in his capability to organize the things in order to give them over in a way that it won't be confusing. She'tzarich b'diboro liten ravach l'shomea bein inyan l'inyan. He needs to give space to the one who's hearing between each subject matter, kedei sheyavin kol inyan amit konato velo yitarev dato v'yitbalbel behem, in order that he will understand each matter on its basis and he won't mix it up in his mind and be confused by him. So that's the commentary on the Mishnah. It's making it even more clear. Okay, Malbim. I think we're going to skip the Malbim for now, even though you know how much I love the Malbim. Okay, Ayala Tashachar, we've seen this before. He is sometimes a super commentary on Rashi. So he's quoting Rashi. Uma hayu hafsakot mashamshot litein revach l'moshe litbonen bein parshal parsha bein inyan l'inyan. So Rashi explains that the purpose of the breaks was to give space to Moshe to contemplate between each parsha and between each subject matter. Tzarich biur, he says we need to look into this more. Ma kavana bein parshal parsha. Uma kavana bein inyan l'inyan. So what's the difference? What does it mean? What's his intention when he says between each parsha? And what's the intention when he says each subject matter? Ve'olai ben parsha l'parsha, haynu kagon ben parshat ola l'parshat shlamim. Maybe parsha means the big topic, like the ola sacrifice, which is completely burnt up, which is what, versus what comes next, the shlamim, where some of it's burnt, some of it the kohanim eat, and the rest of it is a big barbecue with the people who brought it. Even though they're one subject matter, because they both fit into the laws of korbanot, of sacrifices, in any case, there's a break between them, because they're two parshas. I don't know who this is. I think one of the rabbis in the Midrash, in Torah Tkanim, Mifareish, maybe Rabbi Shmuel, explains de bein inyan li inyan, hainu psukim kol echad latzmo. So inyan might refer to an individual pasuk that's saying giving over something, and you might have a break in between individual psukim. Kamo b'parshat Pesach shebekol pasuk yesh mitzvah bifnei atzma. Like when we learn the parsha of Pesach, where each pasuk has its own mitzvah, and therefore its own, it has white space before and after. V'chein b'parshat Kedoshim ad kan devarav. And also in Parshat Kedoshim, the same thing. V'hinei kevan de'bizman shemoshe lamad me'akadosh baruch hu hayu ha'psakot bein pasuk l'pasuk. So when Moshe was learning it from Hashem, there were breaks between each pasuk. Lama v'sefer Torah lo asim sham hafsek. So he's saying that when Hashem is speaking to Moshe, the white space would have been reflected in between every pasuk, and we don't have that in the Sefer Torah. In the Sefer Torah, we have psukim together, so there's not a break in between each one. U'kamosha osim hafsek ben parsha l'parsha, zechar l'hafsakot she'akadosh baruch hu asa l'moshe bizman she'lamadima. So we have these breaks between parsha and parsha as a memory to the breaks that Hashem made for Moshe at the time that he taught him. Umnam im hafsakot hem halacha l'moshe misinai yefshar lakshot. But if these hafsakot, these white spaces, reflect halacha l'moshe misinai that Moshe received at Har Sinai, then we won't make a difficulty out of why some are broken up and some are others. So he's thinking that maybe there were actually more breaks than are reflected in the Sefer Torah, but then he says, no, maybe it's he did it in the right way, it's halacha. Okay, Piresh Rashi explains also, kavachomer lehedyot halomed min hahedyot. All the more so a normal person who learns from a normal person. Tzarich bior. This also we need to go into more. Hakav v'chomer, this a fiori. Sharei kishemoshe lamad me'akadosh baruch hu b'kol teva nichlalu harbe halachot. When Moshe was learning from Hashem, each individual word included many halachot. V'utzrach lehit bonen harbe. And he really need to focus a lot. This is not the case when a normal person is teaching. Where the rabbi explains to the student everything he needs to know. So there's nothing between the lines like there is with Hashem and Moshe. So you would think that it would be the opposite. You would think it would be easier to understand from Hashem. And it's not similar to one who learns from a normal person, because a normal person can't explain it as well as Hashem can. And it also doesn't tell us how long these breaks were. Also, Moshe is not the one who told Hashem to take a break. Hashem decided when to take a break. But when a man is learning from his teacher and he sees that there's a need to contemplate, he will tell his teacher he needs a break. Okay, so this is really awesome. So Hashem decided on the breaks, whereas in a normal human interaction, the student will ask the question and the student will decide the breaks. And then he gives this beautiful story, which here's the original book. I found it on HebrewBooks.org. And it's from this book called Toldos Adam by Yechezkel Favel ben Zev Wolf. And he was the Magid in Vilnius in the early 19th century. He wrote many books. And this one is a hagiography of Rabbi Zalman of Vilna, the famed brother of Chaim of Volozhin, who was the student of Vilna Gaon. So I had heard of Rav Chaim of Volozhin. He's the more famous student of the Vilna Gaon who wrote down his teachings and also led the movement to make Aliyah. I hadn't heard of Rabbi Zalman of Vilna. So this is a story that took place between Rabbi Zalman of Vilna and the Vilna Gaon. And it's told in this book, Toldot Adam. So, Muva al Hagraz, so that's Rabbi Zalman of Vilna. It's brought about him, Mivalajan, Shalamad pa mehagra, that he was learning once from the Vilna Gaon. Bi'ur me'ane achad b'sefer Iyov. He was learning something in the book of Job, some explanation. Ulamacharat hagra ratza lehamshich. The next day, the Vilna Gaon wanted to continue on in the sefer. But he saw that the face of Rabbi Zalman of Vilna was not good. And so the Vilna Gaon asked him about it. so this is such a beautiful story, because a lot of times if you've heard of the Vilna Gaon, you just hear about how he learned all the time, he didn't take a break, his brilliance. And here, I feel like for the first time, for me at least, I'm seeing his humanity and his role as a teacher, and it's so beautiful. He sees on his student a look, a not very good look, that he's confused or something, and he asks him about it. And Rav Zalman answers him that he hadn't yet reviewed the teaching from the day before. Kaf Kuf Aleph Pamim, 101 times. So the famous Gemara that says you haven't really learned, like if you think you've learned something 100 times, learn it 101 times. And that, it, we're going to see that Gemara later, but that's considered the ideal number of times to review something. And he hadn't yet reached 101 times. How can I start something new? I haven't learned it in 101 times. So it's a little bit more expanded in the original. It's hard to read, though. So it's just a beautiful story about the Vilna Gaon. Okay, this is the Kovetz Shitot, which is Rav Alexander Shalom Meir, son of Rabbi Yechiel Michal Youngerman. He was born in 1940, and he was able to survive the Holocaust by hiding among Gentiles, and he and his family moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he studied in Slobodka and Bnei Brak, and he established the Haredi community of Zichron Yaakov. He passed away in 2013, so it's very modern. Okay, so Shoresh HaTorah Lahamik L'da'at U'L'Haskel. The root of the Torah is to deepen and to know and to be enlightened. B'tchila Yomad L'Hakirat Otiot. In the beginning, he studies to recognize the letters, like we all did in preschool. V'achar kach L'Chabram Yachad Hi Nikrait Tevot. And afterwards, to join those letters together, and that's called words. V'achar kach HaPasuk, and then you get a sentence. V'achar kach ha-parsha, and then a paragraph. V'achar kach ha-mishnah, and then you get the whole teaching. V'achar kach ha-talmud, and then the talmud. V'kovetz al yad yarbech chinuch lana'ar al pi darko. And everyone should be taught according to his way. Kedamar v'ketuvot v'kedushim, like it says in the Gemara. And then it quotes this pasuk from Kohelet. Better is a handful of ease than two handfuls of toil and frustration. So meaning teaching, you can't, if you get frustrated, that's nothing. It's better to one handful, take it slowly and understand it, than two handfuls, which would mean going more quickly and it would only give you toil and frustration. And then he also quotes from Devarim, my lesson will drip like rain, my word will flow like dew, like storm winds of it on vegetation and like raindrops on grass. So he's just quoting from this pasuk in Devarim, my word will flow like dew. So drop, 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 very slowly and very lightly. So again, teaching slowly so that people will understand. Amarti knos divrei Torah klalin upratin umatziin ketipim halal l'shaltal. So you should acquire Torah in this very slow way like dew. Lo ketipim gedolim, not like big drops, shel matar of rain. Ela ketipim halalu shel tal. It should be small drops of dew. V'yesh lo ledaber litein hasek sheachzor behem hetev. And you should also, in your teaching, give a break so that he'll be able to review it properly, as it says in ours. And here's where it quotes our midrash. What was the purpose of the breaks? To give space to Moshe to contemplate between each parsha and between each inyan, and then the kal v'chomer of the holy God teacher, the divine teacher versus a human teacher. And then he also quotes a Gemara in Chagiga. Eino domel l'misha shonel. This is what was being referred to in the story of the Vilna Gaon. Eino domel l'misha shonel pirko mea pamim. One who learns or who reviews his teaching 100 times is not similar to the one who does it mea ve'achad, 101 times. And then it's also quoted in Ebervin. And I included the full context to read the English. Having discussed the importance of reviewing one's Torah study, the Gemara relates that Rabbi Preda had a certain student whom he would have to teach 400 times, and only then would he learn the material, as he was incapable of understanding it otherwise. One day they requested Rabbi Preda's presence for a mitzvah matter after the lesson. Rabbi Preda taught his student 400 times as usual, but this time the student did not successfully learn the material. Rabbi Prater said to him, "What is it different now that you are unable to grasp the lesson?" He said to him, "From the time that they said to the master that there is a mitzvah matter for which he is needed, my mind was distracted from the lesson, and every moment I said, 'Now the master will get up. Now the master will get up to go and perform the mitzvah, and he will not complete the lesson.'" There's so much wisdom here on teaching and what a teacher needs to be aware of and what impacts the student. Rabbi Prater said to him, "Pay attention this time and I will teach you, and know that I will not leave until you have fully mastered the lesson." He taught him again an additional 400 times. Due to the merit of Rabbi Prater's great devotion to his students, a divine voice emerged and said to him, Is it preferable for you that 400 years be added to your life, or that you and the rest of your generation will merit the world to come?" He said, "I prefer that I and my generation merit the world to come." The Holy One, blessed be he, said to the angels, "Give him both. He shall live a very long life, and he and the rest of his generation will merit the world to come." So that story is kind of highlighting the teacher and the teacher's ability to sit there with patience and teach 400 times, but the student also has to be commended for being able to sit and learn 400 times. Okay, and then another example from Avodah Zarah. We'll read the English. The Gemara returns to the interpretation of the verse that was discussed previously, "But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord." Rabbi Huda Nasi says a person can learn Torah only from a place in the Torah that his heart desires. As it is stated, "But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord." His delight is in the part of the Torah that he wishes to study. So meaning there has to be some draw to the topic in order for the student to absorb it as well. Okay. And that is that source. Okay. So now we're going to switch gears a little for the remainder of this year. So that was focusing on explaining the white spaces in our Parsha, Parshat Vayikra. Now we're going to look at a place where there is no white space, and we're going to see how there's a certain teaching that combines these two and what we can gain from it. And it actually turned into a pre-Pesach shir, which is so nice for Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So I hope you'll like this. So this is the end of Parshat Vayigash and the beginning of Parshat Vayechi. And if you were to look in a Sefer Torah, you would see that there's no white space. I included the red here, Parshat Vayechi, but there's no Samech or Pei. There's no white space. It's the only Parsha in the Chumash that begins that way without white space. So the last Pasuk says, "Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim Be'eretz Goshen Ve'achazu Ba Ve'yifru Ve'yirbu Me'od." So Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they grasped onto it, and they were very fruitful and multiply. Kafchet, Parshat Vayechi, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. Vayechi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shanim Ve'arba U'me'at Shana. And it was that the days of Yaakov and the years of his life were 147 years. Okay, so Rashi there, Vayechi Yaakov. Lama Parsha Zo Stuma. It's a little confusing because when we saw the Samech in the text representing the space, it meant that it was closed off, but with a white space of 9 letters. Rashi is using the word stuma here to mean totally closed off, without any white space. So why is this parsha totally closed off? Lefisha kevan sheniftar Yaakov avinu, because once Yaakov died, nistamu, you see that same shoresh, satam, enehem vilibam shel Yisrael. The eyes and the hearts of Israel were closed off, mitzarat hashi'abud, because of the misery of the slavery, shehitchilu l'shabdam, because they started to enslave them. Davar acher, another reason, shebikesh legalot et haketz levanav, Yaakov wanted to reveal the end of days, to his children, v'nistam mimenu, and it was closed off from him. So here, in our Parsha Vayikra, we saw the white spaces reflecting this time to reflect and contemplate and think. Here in Vayechi, we see the lack of white space as a closing off of the mind, that they don't have the headspace to think and to contemplate. So we're seeing the opposite. So here's the commentary. Vayechi Yaakov, the Torah to Moshe, which is the Chatam Sofer. Amru Chazal. A rabbi said, "Mekevan sheniftar Yaakov avinu nistamu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzarat hashi'abud." From the time that Yaakov, our father, died, the eyes and hearts of Israel were closed off from the suffering of the enslavement. Nireli mipnei shepasuk zeh ein lo shaychut klal lepasuk shelamala. So why would the rabbis have said this? he thinks it's because this pasuk in the beginning of Vayechi has no connection to the last pasuk of when them settling and being fruitful and multiply. Vayeshev Israel beretz Mitzrayim v'yachzu bo b'yifru v'yirbu. Those two pasukim. Ki hu siman gedola milat v'yachi Yaakov morel siman shiflut. So this is a great sign. And the word Vayechi Yaakov points to a sign of lowness. Kimuvuar ki sham shem Yaakov more al tsar. Because this is obviously after Yaakov's name has been changed to Yisrael. And there are different theories about when the name Yaakov is used and when the name Yisrael is used. So what he's saying here is that Yaakov is used when things are not so great, as opposed to Yisrael, b'shem Yisrael hu l'gedula. The name Israel is used for greatness. V'ra'ui pasuk zeh l'chtov l'kman. And this pasuk of how long Yaakov lived really should have been written much further down, because he hasn't died yet. Those the psukim which summarize the years of his life are usually said right when they die. Etzel mitat Yaakov, kmo shekatuv etzel Avram v'Yitzchak, like with regard to Avram and Yitzchak, where their years are written when they die. And here Yaakov is going to go on to bless all his sons. He's not dying quite yet. Kame yimei, so in the case of Avram and Yitzchak, it gives us the years of their life when they die. Alkein mikdiktiv kan ben parsha leparsha remez letzarat hashiabud. And therefore, since this pasuk of the years of Yaakov's life is written at this time when it's not appropriate, it's a hint to the pain of the enslavement. Kavanato damrinan, the intent is like what we said in our parsha, ma haya hafsaka mishameshet, what did the break serve? Litein revach l'moshe litbonen ben parsha leparsha. It's to give space to Moshe to contemplate between each parsha. And it'll be left to the one who has the knowledge to contemplate. Aval, but since the pain of the enslavement had begun, Israel's eyes and hearts were closed off. Therefore, it's not appropriate to have a break between each parsha. And that's what this parsha is hinting at. I thought it was so beautiful how the Chatam Sofer took this idea of the space in our parsha being given over to contemplation and time to think, and to the parsha of the beginning of the enslavement of Bnei Israel when they had no time to think. And that's reflected in it being closed off and no white space in it. Okay, and then similar to that, but on a different note, which is even more beautiful, so our rabbi said, the Sfas Emet is his father. This is the Imre Emet, and either his father or one of his forefathers was the Sfas Emet, who was the first Gera Rebbe. Shehashira shehi mishuna b'ktivata b'Torah. So this is talking about Shirat Hayam. And I should have included it in the way it's written. I'm sorry I didn't. But if you can envision in your head how Shirat Hayam is written in the Sefer Torah, it actually kind of looks like Bnei Israel going through the sea on dry land. So it's organized like bricks alternating. So you have two rows of words here, and then you have a row of words in the middle, and there's a lot of white space in between. To tell you, I'd always taught it before to tell you that it was poetry, that poetry is written differently in the Torah. But I think actually I really like this explanation better, that it's not so much about designating it as poetry, but rather the use of the white space. So we'll see what he says. So it's written differently in the Torah. Tzricha lasot roshem b'lev ha'adam. So why is it written? It's written to make an impression on the heart of a person. Be'ita b'sfat emet. So now he's quoting the Sfat Emet. Shekmo sheparshat ha'galut histuma. So just like the Parsha of Exile, again back to Parsha Vayechi, when we arrive in Egypt, is closed off, al shem shenistamu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael, because the eyes and the hearts of Israel were shut off. Kamo kein yesh parshiot petuchot. Just like some Parshas are closed off to reflect the closing off of the hearts and eyes, so too there are Parshiot that are open, hamiyuchadot l'geula, that are unique to redemption. Parsha Tashira, hi petucha mikol makom. This parsha of the song is open from everywhere. Be'enem v'libam shel Yisrael niftachim. And the eyes and the hearts of Israel were opened. Ketiv, it's written in Tehillim, Gal Einai Va'abita V'Niflaot Mitoratecha. My eyes, I will look at the wonders of your Torah. V'ita Hu Yiftach Libeinu B'Torato. We also have, he opens our heart to his Torah. B'Kol Shabbat Hu Kach Kediktiv. So we read that every Shabbos. And then in Yechezkel, B'Yom HaShabbat Yiftach. It says in Yechezkel, on Shabbos, it will be opened. It's actually talking about the Beis Mikdash, but he's giving it more metaphorically. And Rashi there says, in our parsha, the beginning of Yikra, Oma hayu hafsakot mishamshot, what did these breaks serve? Litein revach l'moshe litbanin ben parsha l'parsha, to give Moshe space to contemplate between each parsha. B'Shabbat, sarich kol ish Yisrael litbanin. On Shabbat, every one of us needs to take the time to contemplate. Ulach shlich hacheshbonot harabim, and to throw out, toss out all the many thoughts. Shabbat hu kulo l'Hashem. Shabbos is all to Hashem. Shabbat hi habina shel kol hashana. Shabbos is the understanding of the whole year. Chamishim sharei bina yesh. There are 50 gates of understanding. And this is what the Kabbalist related, the count that we're going to start after Pesach, of counting to Shavuot to 50, that there are these 50 gates. U'bekol Shabbat niftach shar acher b'torah. So he's not saying it in terms of days, he's saying it in terms of weeks. There are about 50 weeks in the year, in the Jewish calendar. And every Shabbos, another gate of the Torah is opened with each parsha. Ita b'mishna tanit, we also see in the Mishnah of Tanit, Misha ana et avotenu al yamsuf, hu yana etchem. The one who answered our forefathers on the sea, he will answer you. V'yishma kol tzakatam chatzat katchem, and he'll hear all your cries, hayom hazeh, on this day, baruch atah Hashem zocher hanishkachot. Blessed be he who remembers those who are forgotten. Uberashi, in Rashi there says, Lefi shayu Yisrael nishkachim b'mitzrayim kama shanim. Since Israel was seemingly forgotten in Egypt for many years, v'zichram hamakom v'galam, and Hashem remembered them and redeemed them. V'galut nidmel adam shakol nishkach. When we're in exile, it seems to a person that everything's forgotten. V'kol hatzaakot v'atfilot nistamim. And all of the cries and the prayers are closed off. Ulam, however, kishabaz zman geula, when the time for redemption comes, niftach petach, an opening is created, ve'az niftach hakol, and then everything is opened. Umit barer sheshum davar lo nevad, and it's clear that nothing was lost. Ita b'gemara, we learn in brachot, ve'limadetem shehe limudecha tam sheitein revach ben hadvakim. So this is talking about the Shema, and sometimes in the Shema, it's very important that we pronounce every word. And I'm not going to remember the words here, but there are several times in the Shema where the last letter of one word and the first letter of the next word are the same, and it would be very easy not to enunciate and to just roll into the next word. So this piece in Brachot is talking about the importance of differentiating between each word. Mikol, and then he relates that to Mikol Limud Tzarich Adam Lehachnis Ba'atzmo Malchut Shamayim. And every time we study, we need to put into ourselves the kingship of heaven. V'zehu Shimusha Shel Torah. And that's the purpose of Torah. L'chol Yisrael Yesh Chelek B'Shira. Every person in Israel has a portion in the song. V'zehu v'yomru le'mor, and that's what it says, and they said, sing, as Yashirin. I think we can include women in this also, since Miriam and the women were also singing this song. And as it says in the Gemara, she'afilu ubarim she'bema'e iman amru shira. The Midrash Haggadah says in Sota, even the fetuses that were in their mother's womb stopped and said this song, in the womb. Hainu ad sof kol adorot. That means until all the generations, all of us have a portion in this song. L'kol Yisrael yesh petichat halev. All of Israel has an opening of the heart. L'chad ba'ofen zeh u'l'chad ba'ofen acher. Each one in his own way. So what's so beautiful about this is that we learn from our parsha this week the importance of the white space, and how they can go either direction. You can have the white space closed off, where we lose all sense of hope, we're in despair, we can't get out, we don't have any time to think. And then the opposite, which we're going to celebrate in 3 weeks from tonight, the splitting of the sea, where it's open And we all are able to see with our eyes and with our hearts. We're open to Hashem. We're open to the freedom to contemplate, to learn, to make Torah a part of our lives. And that's the process that I think we all go through in our lives, from being closed off to having the opportunity to learn in Vayikra and seeing those white spaces and contemplating, to rejoicing at the song of the sea in true freedom and lots of white space and lots of openings. So my bracha for you all is that we should all experience lots of white space and time to contemplate and time to absorb in our lives. Okay. Thank you.
Amen.